What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gentleman's Roundtable of Body Recomposition. I'm your host, Jeff Packman, here with T-General and my man, Austin Chan, a.k.a. Coach Taters. I didn't mean to say T-General, but, you know, that's how we're rolling today. No edits on this podcast. We just roll straight into your favorite fitness and nutrition topics that you guys need to know the answers on, and we jump into depth and jump into detail. So thank you guys for listening. First of all, what's going on, fellas? How's your morning going? Talk to me. How's your productive day going? T-General, what's up?
All right, mate. First of all, just want to say, so glad to have you back, mate. Last week, Austin and I, although we had a great podcast without you, we are not the master of ceremonies that you are, mate. So good to have you back.
thank you.
But yeah, mate. So as I was just saying before we started recording there, I got up this morning 4 o'clock because it's been absolutely roast taters up in here. And it's like Olivia keeps coming into our bedroom in the middle of the night recently. And she came in this morning at like 4 o'clock, climbed into bed, and I was laying there sandwiched between my pregnant partner and my 3-year-old with like 4 fans pointed at us. Oh. And I'm just like,
so much body heat.
I'm not going to sleep. I'm just like, I would rather get up now, get work done, and then maybe take a nap later.
Yeah.
So I got up and I went down to my office. I haven't been working in my office for a bit because Lucy's been working on it since she's been on her course. I took my walking pad down there. I clocked up 10K steps.
What?
I've been getting. Yeah, dude. Craziness.
Before anyone else was even up.
Yeah, dude.
You're a beast.
Damn. Dude, 10K steps while I was getting my emails done. I was I wrote a program for a client.
Yeah. How's your cut going?
It's going well. I'm on a maintenance week right now, on a diet break.
Oh yeah, your birthday's coming up, huh?
Yeah, on Sunday. So
dude,
that'll be nice.
Happy birthday, man. Happy
birthday. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, bro. How old now?
35.
35? Hey, bro, that's a milestone. 35 is a milestone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're officially an adult. Halfway to 70. Yeah.
You're officially an adult.
I guess it's time for a midlife crisis.
Yeah, dude, you better get like a Harley or something.
That's what my dad did, so. my dad bought like 3 Jaguars and a Harley, so I'll better do the same thing.
Damn, but your dad was a baller.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, he did. He literally did that. But he was like, he got paid out a bonus like for turning a company around at one point, and which was great, but it wasn't the smartest financial decision to go and buy like 3 Jaguars and a Harley Davidson with it. So
how do you buy 3 Jaguars all at like 1 year? That's insane,
dude. Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
So anyway, but yeah, all good. My cut's going well. I'm down like, I think like six pound more, like, to be honest. I've gone from like 195 down to like 188. I was 190 this morning, but that's just an anomaly,
water,
I think.
Weight.
Yeah.
Maintenance water weight.
And I weighed myself at like 4 o'clock this morning, so it's super early in comparison.
Yeah. What are you trying to get down to? Like, what are you targeting? Like, what is your target right now?
Well, I was targeting 180 initially, but then I was like, fuck it, maybe I'll go 175.
Yeah.
But it depends. Like when I got to my leanest like 2 years ago, I was like between 173 and 175, I think. So I was super cut at that point. And my plan wasn't to get that cut this time around. So I've got to be smart, because when you're going there, you can always want more. And you can always look at yourself in the mirror and be like, oh, I'm not there yet, or I'm still fat, you know. And so I'm still got these areas that I'm self-conscious of or whatever. So I've just got to be smart with that, and I guess I'll be sending you guys pictures so I can get some external opinions on things.
I need to do the same, because I am dipping down into the 160s now, and I'm feeling it. But like my strength is starting to drop, my workouts I'm noticing, and I'm like, fuck, this has never happened to me in a deficit. Mm-hmm. So I think it's close to time for me to be done with it, but I want to get your guys' opinion as well. So for those of you out there who are listening, get some fitness homies that can tell you whether you're ready to start bulking or maintaining or not. Because if you don't have that, get a coach, but figure it out. Because a lot of times we can be our own worst enemies when it comes to like our own bodies and like the way that we look at shit. Even as fitness coaches, like we need that. Having another set of eyes on your shit is so fucking beneficial. It's so beneficial.
Yeah. And on that point, actually, just going to quickly say here, I've had a couple consults recently where people are not fully comfortable with themselves because like they're getting into their 30s, they've had like kids and stuff, and they want to lose weight. And when they approach their friends and family and they say like, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, going on a diet, or I'm thinking about trying to trim down a little bit, the only advice that they get is like, you're fine just the way you are. And although I think like that's nice of their friends and family to say that, and I get what they're where they're coming from. Like
you're not a bad person, but there's improvements to make in your physique and your aesthetics and your health. So
yeah, and just support your friends in like the goals that they have. As long if they're not like anorexic and they're not sick, like in that sense. Like, just support them and be like, yeah, fucking go for it, man.
Especially if they're if they're asking you for your opinion. Like, don't give unsolicited opinions about shit like that.
Yeah, no.
If they're asking you and, like, you have that kind of open relationship with somebody, I think it's cool, too. And we talked about this with the Joe Rogan fat shaming thing. But, like, if somebody's asking you your opinion and you have that relationship with them, then that's cool. Like, just do it, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Austin, what's up with you?
Not much. I've been nursing this fucking bicep thing. I think that the toughest part is just like waiting around and not being able to kind of like go full effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been thinking about like going on a cut too, just seeing like you guys cutting and just seeing people, you know, summer shredding on social media and all that, just like makes me want to like, man, do I really want to get the shreds back? Do I want to lose some fat? But also at the same time, like, because my training is not at 100% where I'd like it to be, I don't want to lose even more muscle in my left arm.
Yeah.
And also like after having gone through that phase where I've gotten like super lean, it's one of those things where like Andy brought up a good point about like you don't want to like, you want to lose some fat, but you don't also want to kind of slip into the mindset of like, oh, maybe I can't, or like, I don't really feel like I'm there yet. I want to keep going. And then you sort of start to form this like poor relationship with like body image and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, again, why it's so beneficial to have a coach, because somebody who knows what's up and they know what they're doing, like they're not going to take you past that point of being lean to where you're going to start stripping on that muscle that you've worked so hard to build. And, you know, start seriously struggling with, like, that's when people start struggling with their relationship with food as well. When they try to push the envelope with their calories, so many steps per day. And then they, you know, they're just struggling. They're losing strength. Libido is down. They're not really enjoying life. They're getting invited to all these cool restaurants and food places and barbecues, but they're not able to do it. And it's like, dude, who the fuck wants to live like that in summertime? Enjoy it. You know, like that's my theory at least. You know, like I'm obviously pushing the envelope with this cut, but like if I have some homies from out of town, Minnesota right now, and they're visiting, like I'm not going to be like, oh no, bro, I'm on a cut. We can't hang out at this place.
I gotta eat my meal prep at home, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like that's I've never been that guy. I don't want to be that guy. Like, yeah, you know, if it's just like an every week thing where the homies are like going to get food, I might be like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna eat before and go hang out. But I'm not gonna like, if I got people coming into town, I got family coming into town, I'm not gonna be that weirdo that like misses out on quality time with my family and friends. And memories that I might make that of people that, who knows, man, you know. So you just gotta fucking make those choices for yourself, make the best decisions you can. Don't always give in to fucking temptation. There's definitely times to say no. There's definitely times when, you know, there's donuts at your fucking work or whatever and you can say no. You know, you don't have to fucking shove a lukewarm donut that's probably not even that good into your mouth that you know you're not going to be able to just have one of anyways. So it's like, yeah, dude, if you want the donut, go get a fresh fucking donut from the place and go get like a nice, hot, fresh, crispy ass donut and just have the one and be done with it. Don't get some lukewarm ass, like mediocre Safeway donut that is like it hurts your teeth because they put so much fucking sugar in it. Like, it's not worth it to me.
Yeah, they do that all the time at like offices. When I worked in like a corporate scenario, there was always food, sweet treats,
yeah,
candy, as you guys would call it, lined up on the windowsill.
Wait, what do you guys call it?
Yeah, what do you call it?
Chocolate.
No, what if it's not chocolate? Candy?
Yeah, what if it's not chocolate? What if it's like
so we call it sweet sweets?
Sweets.
You call it sweet sweets. Treats?
No, we would call it sweets.
Sweets.
Yeah. And we would call chocolate a chocolate bar, not candy bar. And so we would have like,
dude, I don't know if I don't know if I've ever really called something a candy bar. So in the US, it's like we have like very like prominent candy companies and types. So it's like, oh, I'm gonna get some Sour Patch Kids. You want some? Oh, I'm gonna get some Skittles. I'm gonna get some Starburst. I'm gonna get some, you know, I'm gonna get. Like, yeah, I will say, like, I'll get a bar, a chocolate bar or whatever, but I won't say, like, I'm going to go eat some candy, guys. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to get some Sour Patch Kids from the store, you know?
Well, in my mind, you would say, hey, y'all, I'm so totally going to get some candy.
God damn it, dude.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So
the way that you perceive Americans, bro, is hilarious. That is hilarious.
It's probably like the same way that you perceive like Brits.
I
you
do,
know?
Bro. Yeah, yeah. That shit's funny. So, yeah, it's just cultural differences.
It's funny. But anyway, so there would be just all these treats lined up on the windowsill. And like, you're right, they would just go like kind of stale over the few days, but people would go and still pick at them. And like, when people would bring them in, like, you would get shamed for not eating them because you're like trying to stay in shape, you know? Yeah. So you're like, are you going to eat some of this, Andy? Are you going to eat some? Andy? Are you going to eat some of your fucking donuts? No. I'm watching my figure. Like,
holy shit.
Oh, go on. Don't be boring, love. Come on. How are you doing it? Come on, love. And it's so
true. Why is
this
so much funnier with the accents, bro? The British office was better. I think it was better.
Did you think so?
No.
The British office?
No.
No.
I didn't. But
it's different.
It was funny, man. What's the main character's name in the British office?
David Brent.
Yeah, that guy's fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's the thing I find about the two office, the UK versus the US office. It's like, the UK one is so uncomfortable to watch, the UK office. It's like, it's that cringe. It's just uncomfortable to watch, honestly. And the main character, David Brent, is someone that you do not like. Like, you do not like him because he's the boss that you just don't like. Whereas in the US office, it's more, I guess, in your face kind of comedy, and you actually like, what's his name?
Steve Carell.
Yeah, Steve Carell's character, Michael Scott. You actually like him, but you feel a bit sorry for him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You feel sorry for him, but you actually like him. So I've got a lot of British friends that prefer the US office. I've seen some of them, and they are hilarious. But I do like both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, Steve Carell's a genius. I mean, yeah, just absolutely smashes every episode that he was in. But
yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so I mean, you know, that just goes to show like controlling your food environment. It's so important, man. And like, you know, on days when I'm trying to intermittent fast and I'm like, you know, and I'm like, there's snacks and candy and food around me and shit. Candy. You know, it makes it hard, dude. You have that mental battle, especially when you're in a deficit. You're getting lean. You're getting to that point where food obsession is definitely a real thing. We have biological processes in our bodies that are like built for survival. So if you get super lean and, you know, you're in a steep deficit, like you're going to be thinking about food all of the time. Like literally I'll be driving or walking down the street and I'll smell someone's barbecue and I'll be like, you guys smell that? Somebody's cooking up something tasty. And everyone else will be like, no, I don't smell that at all. And I'm like, what? You don't smell like smoked meat like in the air. And they're like, no, I don't smell that. Because they're not in a deficit, right? And it's like I can smell barbecue from a mile away, dude.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
I know, mate. You're so much more sensitive to food. And like I get things like if I'm eating something and I'm steep in a deficit and like Olivia comes over and she's like picking at the ham in my sandwich, I'm like, get your mitts off my shit, because that is mine. I've tracked that already.
She picks
that's at, my ham.
Picks at the ham in your sandwich. That's funny.
And she's just like, I'm like, you've got your own food on your plate. And she's like, but I want yours.
She's punking you out, dude. If this was prison, yeah. You guys would have to take it to the yard.
Oh, mate. But she already calls it her garden, so I'd lose there.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, she's the tank boss.
She is, mate. She rules the bloody roost.
You're kind of the bitch.
On a topic that you kind of brought up a little bit, I am. Yeah. Taters ain't no simp. Taters ain't no simp. What was that, darling? I'll be there in a moment, my darling.
Oh, that's good. Alpha Male podcast coming soon.
Yeah.
Fuck, was it Red Pill? Fucking.
Yeah, Red Pill podcast coming soon.
We ain't no simp. We ain't no simps, mate. Anyway. Sorry, you didn't hear that. Yeah. Anyway. So, what was I going to say? Right, here's what I was going to say. Kind of what you touched on briefly about, like, your food environment. And I feel like a lot of the way the industry is going right now, and Austin and I touched on this a little bit last week, I think, about, you know, everyone's trying to be so kind to themselves and, you know, be nice. The whole be nice to yourself nutrition thing is like leading people to believe that, you know, they should be able to stock their fridge with everything and still have an easy ride trying to lose weight. And kind of here's what I mean by that. Like, I can't have peanut butter in the house because if I do, I'm going to be fat. There's no question about it. Like, I literally cannot buy it. Because if I do, every time I'm like, all right, I'll moderate this. I can't. So it's, and there'll be people that say, like, that's not a healthy, you know, mindset to have. And yeah, ideally, I would be able to have it in the house and I should be able to have it in moderation. But there's certain foods that I can't, because there's certain foods, and especially ones that are kind of like processed like that, you know, processed like peanut butter, like cookies, you know, it's like, it's just 100% taste and 100% ease to fit in your mouth and slide down the throttle, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's so easy and so tasty. You cannot stop. And so
I think even if you have those 100 calorie packs of like cookies or, you know, ice cream bars or whatever, it's like, it's so easy to have that 100 calorie pack and be like, I'll have another one, you know, I'll have another one.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're not even tracking that anymore. You're just like downing packs of snacks, and it's so easy to do, dude. You're right. Controlling your food environment is so important, and it's harder once you have kids in the house. It's harder once you have, you know, or if you're younger and you have roommates and they have, you know, they eat like shit, or, you know, it makes it hard when you don't control your food environment, you know? If you control your entire environment, dude, it's like, yeah, you're going to be able to get fucking peeled pretty easily, but that's not realistic for most people.
But here's a mindset that I got from working with Mike when he was coaching me that I absolutely love.
Shout out and to it's Mr. Just, Vacanti.
Yeah, Mr. Vacanti, if you're listening, I'm a naughty boy. And right, Mr. Vacanti, legend. His advice on this was, this is an additional challenge for you to overcome, right? This is like just more, it's just something harder for you to overcome, which is awesome. Like, you have, there's people in the house that like to eat these certain foods that are going to be in and around the house. Great. Another challenge for you to overcome. because it's too easy otherwise. You know what I mean? Like, you got to earn that badge just like on a video game or something. You know, it's just another challenge for you to overcome.
Yeah.
And think of it like that. It's like, good, you got something else in it. It's going to make the reward even better. Like, just think about when you've been offered something, like, let's say a donut. When you've been offered something, how good do you feel when you're like, actually, no, I'm good? You probably feel way better later when you say no.
Yeah. In the moment, you feel like a lame. Like, we have so much social conditioning. At least I can speak for myself. We have this social conditioning because people are like, well, don't be fucking boring. Don't be lame. Like, da-da-da, like you said. And so we have this social conditioning. And so when we turn down the donut, then all of a sudden we're, you know, we're bad because we're so strict that we didn't have the donut. We don't have any fun, right? And it's like, so in the moment you kind of have that voice in your head that's like, should I have the donut? Should I like fit it into my calories? No, dude, I want to save that 150 calories for more protein. That's going to actually make me feel better. No, dude, if I have that donut, it's going to trigger something in my mind that says, fuck it. And I'm going to have two donuts. And then I'm going to have three donuts. And then by that point, I'm going to feel like shit. And I'll be hungry an hour later. And I'm not going to be reaching for my chicken and rice and veggies. I'm going to be reaching for pizza or cookies or candy or whatever. So if you know that about yourself, and if you've done this enough times, you will know this about yourself. If you're smart and you take notes of how your mind is, sometimes the donut is just not, it's not fucking worth it.
Lucy was just listening there, and she said, when I said that, I disagree. And I would like to just clarify that I'm mostly talking about if someone has a weight loss goal, and that donut is going to get in the way of them reaching their goal potentially, just like what you said there about it spiraling into something else.
Yeah. For most people, it will. Most people, it will spiral into a fuck it day.
Yeah, really. Just having one donut. It boils down to what we've talked about in previous episode, like delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Like, is this donut going to gratify you in the long term? Or is it just like, you're going to have this donut and then you're like, man, I didn't really feel that good. And then you just have like fucking five more and then you're like, oh, man, I even feel shittier.
Yeah. That's the thing I was kind of going to lead on to, which is a great point. It's like, if your goal is to maintain weight and you've got more flexibility within your diet, and your goal isn't to lose weight, sure, you can have a donut now and again. You can have a donut if you're trying to lose weight, but like, is that donut going to lead to something else? And is that something else either more donuts or more hunger later in the day or more guilt? You know, sometimes you can have the donut, but then there's the trade-off of those other things that you have to consider. And we're obviously not saying you can never eat donuts or treats and be boring and that kind of thing, but just being smart with your nutrition. And my point initially was, you know, sometimes you being disciplined and saying, actually, I'm going to follow my plan and I will choose when I'm going to treat myself. And I'm not just going to say yes to this person because they've offered me something out of the blue. Because here's another thing, right? Part of the enjoyment of a treat is the anticipation for it. Think about when you've got your birthday coming up. It's way more exciting knowing you're going to go out for a meal than it is, oh, we've got no food in the fridge. Let's go grab something.
Yeah, let's DoorDash something that, you know, by the time it gets to your door, it's all soggy and wasn't nearly what it should be. Yeah, it's just most of the time, it's not even worth it.
But you've got that period of anticipation where it's like, let's say, oh, we're going to go out for ice cream tomorrow. The whole day you're like, I get a fucking ice cream later, oi oi. You know, but if someone's like, here's a donut, and you're just like, well, there it goes, gone, guilty, didn't even enjoy it because there was no anticipation there.
Yep. I like it. I think that's okay. So maybe what people should do is plan these moments into their week. And this requires some forethought, because like what I've been kind of transitioning to teaching my clients more is about how to create meal plans for themselves. And I work with them and help them to create meal plans. So this comes into play where if their meal plan is just 100% whole foods, and it's like, yes, on paper, you're hitting all your micronutrients, your fiber, love it, protein's dialed, calories are dialed, but they're going to be fucking bored and craving something by the end of that week. They're going to be bored and craving some different food by the end of that week. So this is where the whole cheat meals thing came into practice. And I don't know that I'm 100% against cheat meals or cheat days. I don't know that I'm 100% against it. I think that if you structure in a free meal at the end of a week, like you've been doing awesome with your deficit, you earned it. You have to actually earn that free meal. And then let's say you eat your normal meals for breakfast and lunch on a Friday, and then you have plans of like going out to Red Robin and smashing out a burger and a couple of trays of fries. Like, cool. That's not going to throw you out of your deficit that you created for the week. But then you need to get back to normally scheduled program the next day.
Yeah, well, I think that it's mostly the wording around cheat is the problem, honestly. Mm-hmm. And again, it depends on who you're talking to, because like, okay, if you're talking to someone with no food issues at all, then, you know, it's probably not a big deal. But if you're talking to someone that's got a background in like eating disorders potentially, or just, you know, body dysmorphia, that kind of thing, then cheat meal, the wording can lead to then guilt and that kind of thing. So it's the wording that I think we need to be careful of, because the thing is, if you factor your treat into your calories, whether it's your daily calories or whether it's your calories overall for the week, you haven't cheated on anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's perfectly acceptable to have a treat within your diet, as long as it's like not all the time, because then if you do it all the time, of course, like the treats become less of a treat. They just become the norm. But like, you're not cheating on anything if it's within your calories. But the problem is, the whole cheat day thing, done wrong, can completely undo all of your hard work that you've put in throughout the week. Like, I could easily eat 1,500 calories on average Monday to Saturday. And then on Sunday, I could just fucking eat everything, especially if I've got peanut butter in the house, mate. I could literally undo all my progress.
Let's do the math real quick. Let's break down the math, okay? So let's say your maintenance is 2,500 calories, okay? So for the week, we multiply that by 7. So your maintenance, you need 17,500 calories per week, right? Just to maintain your weight. And let's say you go into an aggressive deficit of 1,000 calories per day. So you eat 1,500 calories per day. Now, we don't recommend anybody do this long term, but let's say you just want to do a fat loss sprint for 2 weeks and you eat 1,500 calories a day for 6 days, right? So that gives us 9,000 calories. So we have another 8,500 calories. If you ate 8,500 calories on Sunday, that would mean that you maintained your weight for the week.
Yeah. I guess 8,500 would be somewhat difficult.
That's difficult, bro. But dude, not impossible. I don't know. But not impossible.
Like, I could eat... Okay, that is a really aggressive approach to start off, right? That is a really aggressive approach. That's 1,000 calories a day, did you say?
Yeah, let's do something more moderate.
I would expect 2 pounds a week at that. right? 1,000 calories a day, I would expect £2 a week. Not exactly, because we're not, because we're having the cheat day on the Sunday, right? But let's just say £2 a week. But then Sunday comes, and I have a cheat day that I don't track, but I eat like, I don't know, 6,000 calories or something. Potentially, I've lost less than a pound for the whole week.
And it's not easy to eat in a 1,000-calorie deficit. For anybody who's ever done it, you are constantly hungry most of that, time. Towards the end of the week, it starts to get really – you starts to drain you seriously.
Just imagine eating 1,000 calories a day. But I know there's some people that, like, struggle with that, or they say they struggle with that. But, you know, actually, this is actually a really good point, come to think of it. Like, a lot of people that say, you know, they struggle to eat that much, this is probably one of the things that they come into without knowing it. This cyclical behavior of, like, not eating very much, and then just, pow, one day a week or 2 days a week, just, like, ravenous, like, going to town on shit. Yeah. And honestly, like, if you're putting in that much effort, and then you're just going to town at the weekend for a day to pig yourself out and eat like a dick and shoveling food down so you're absolutely stuffed and feeling terrible, like, that is not good, honestly. And it's a waste of time and effort that you've put in midweek. And, like, I'm not saying that you're wrong with the whole cheat days are okay thing, because I do agree, like, you are allowed to have a treat. But I'm just saying, like, the wording of a cheat isn't necessary, because it's within your calories. Make it within your calories. Yeah. And whether that means, like, you do the weekend warrior style approach where you have less calories throughout the week, save a little bit more calories for the weekend, where you do a calorie cycling approach, that's fine. Like, make it fit within your calories, and you haven't cheated on anything. Yeah. You still have to be smart and make yourself feel full, and maybe you do a bit more of an intermittent fasting approach on that day. But
yeah, I get what you're saying as well, and I think that was definitely my mindset towards all of this up until maybe recently. But lately I've been thinking about, like, someone who is very structured with their nutrition and they need a mental break from tracking for, like, one meal. I don't mean like a full day, but I mean like one meal. So let's say that person goes out and has that one meal, and on the higher end of things, they eat 2,500 calories for that day, or they eat 2,500 calories in one meal. That's not going to halt their progress, and they're still going to see progress, right? And then if they're not making progress, we audit that one meal, and I'm like, okay, before that one meal, like, I want you to skip breakfast that day, or before that one meal where you don't track, I want you to do this or that, right? And this kind of shifts the mindset from, like, okay, because in the beginning, I may give them a whole day where they can do whatever they want. And if they're making progress, cool. You can do whatever you want that day. But if they're not making progress, then that one day is the problem. And then we've kind of found that they have some binging type behaviors probably going on. And then we found the problem. So, okay, cool. So write down exactly what you ate, what you ordered at the restaurant, what you put in your mouth that day, or send me pictures of your food that day. And then we'll see, like, what do you eat when you're not tracking? When you don't have that accountability, what are you really eating? Because if your mindset is just like, I'm going to go fucking crazy. Any food that comes my way, I'm going crazy. I'm going to the taco place. I'm going to get ice cream afterwards. I'm going to, my kid's having cookies. I'm going to have three of those real quick. Like, it's really easy to rack up a whole lot of calories if you're just like, yeah, I've been depriving myself all week, so I'm inhaling everything in sight. But I think giving your client some autonomy with that day and being like, okay, this day you're on your own, it does kind of give them a little bit of freedom to be like, okay, this is what it would be like if you were on your own right now and you had no accountability. And if we can dial that day in, then you're closer to not needing me anymore. So I think you could use it as an approach to kind of figure out where the cracks in the pavement are with your client's nutrition.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the only thing I don't agree with is just the wording of cheat day, I suppose. Because it's not really a cheat day, because it's just a day without tracking.
Yeah, I mean, the semantics of like the word, obviously, I don't like the word, but...
Well, just think about if you say, okay, cheat day, and I know you know this already.
Sure.
But like, cheat day is like, first of all, it implies you're actually cheating on something when you're not, especially if you're still making progress. And the other thing is, we all know what a cheat day is. Cheat day is fucking hell, cheat day, going to fucking get me some fucking whatever, pizza.
But look, but even that excites you. If someone told me, if I hired a coach and they were like, okay, Saturday's cheat day, right?
It's a challenge. I'm going to eat as much as I fucking
it
is. Can.
It's like, but which it's is not like, good, bro. It's not like, oh, I'm going to fucking cheat on my diet. I'm such a bad boy. Like, it's like, oh, my coach gave this to me. It's a cheat day. Like,
yeah. And so it's the like,
fuck I want.
My coach has given me the right to eat whatever I want.
Like an asshole.
Yeah. And so if I don't make progress, it's his fault.
Maybe. Because there's still guidelines around it. And first of all, my whole thing was not a cheat day. It's a cheat meal.
Your clients are a bunch of cheaters, Jeff.
Right now, I'm not even implementing this.
No, I know what you're saying. And I do think it's a good way of building self-efficacy. And I do think like, and for anyone listening, I don't make my clients track everything if they're going out for dinner and stuff. Like they're going out for dinner with their family and friends and stuff. It's like, okay, they can do their best if they want to.
Most people just give up, dude. Most people, when they go out to restaurants, they just give up with tracking. And I don't blame them, dude, to be honest.
No, it's not easy.
I don't blame them. It's a lot of fucking work. And honestly,
yeah, it's not easy.
If you're only going out to dinner once or twice a week, I don't fucking care. I don't care that you track your food that day. Give yourself about 1,000 calorie buffer for that day, because that's probably what you're going to be eating. Maybe more than that. But if you give yourself 1,000 calorie buffer, at least I know you're not going to be super over. That's kind of my theory on it. Cause I've given people all the tools to help them track their nutrition when they go out to eat. But like the average person just, they're not going to fucking do it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. And I think more than anything, like most people, when left to their own vices, they're not going to just eat fucking 5,000 calories just because they're going out. They're going to like, they're obviously going to enjoy themselves. They're going to eat a little bit more than they probably plan to, but they're going to eat like a reasonable amount of food and not so much that it's going to like reset their progress. And I even think like, you don't even have to mention cheat, just like, hey, just enjoy yourself. And that I think where most people kind of go wrong and get into the position of like being in poor health and being overweight and all that is because they tend to do that too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they have that accountability with a coach, then they start to dial things in, like say through the week. And then like on the weekends, they actually kind of find out like what moderation actually means. It's not like randomly through the week, it's like, oh, I'm too lazy to cook or whatever, so I'm just going to get takeout and just order a bunch of like in high calorie food. It's like, okay, I can actually prepare if I manage my time properly and like dial in throughout the week. And then the weekend when the time comes, you know, to hang out with friends and family, then I can enjoy myself. And it's just these like one-off things.
Yeah. And for the most part, when clients are not making progress and I notice their nutrition is like salads, protein, rice, protein, vegetables, like during the week, it's like they're eating like almost orthorexic, like everything super fucking nutrient dense, clean foods the entire week. Then I know, and then they're not losing weight. Like I know something's happening on the weekend. Something's happening on the weekend that they're not telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a lot of clients who struggle with the weekends. Actually, almost, I'd say probably 80% of my clients who have come to me struggle with the weekends. They drink. They go out with friends. they want to be social, especially right after COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was such a lack of social connections that people just crave that. And so there was a lot more drinking, a lot more going out, a lot more eating out, things like that. People just wanted to get out of the house. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But once they kind of figured out, like, okay, the weekends don't need to be that much different from how I eat during the week, unless we've got them on a calorie cycling approach. But if we've got them on a calorie cycling approach and the weekends are like more calories, then they need to still track on the weekends. Especially in the more strict I am with clients, the more I'm going to be more strict with clients who are not seeing progress. Those are the ones where I'm like, hey, I need to see your food logs from Saturday to Sunday this week. If they're making progress and I'm seeing the scale go down, I'm seeing measurements go down, progress photos are looking good, then I'm not going to be hassling them about what they're doing on the weekends. I'm just not, unless they bring it up, because most likely they're fine. They're making progress. They're feeling good. They're sharing their victories every single week in their check-ins. So I think it's only a problem if they tell me it's a problem and I'm seeing that their results are not coming in where they need to be. Like this girl I was telling you guys about, who her coach had her on 1,700 calories for 9 months. And she didn't lose a pound, right? And I was like, what do your weekends look like? And she's like, well, I'm tracking, but on the weekends, I give myself a little bit more flexible. I'm like, weekends, that's your fucking problem.
Her coach has been giving her a bloody cheat day, mate.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
It's like, right? Little sure.
Yeah, and you know what, people, okay, 1,700 for somebody that's 5'6" and who's like 50-something years old and she's probably perimenopausal, premenopausal, probably has like early signs of some hormonal issues as well. She probably doesn't need 1,700 calories.
Mm-hmm,
she probably does. Even if she is eating 1,700 calories, it's probably not steep enough of a deficit. And if you take into account that most people have about a 20% margin of error when they're tracking calories under reporting, then she's probably eating close to 2,000, maybe 2,200. She's only getting 5K steps per day. And she's older, and she probably doesn't have much muscle mass. So her maintenance could be fucking 2,200 calories.
Well, my maintenance is like 2,500, if
that. Exactly, exactly. So then we've got somebody who has all these other issues and they're older and they don't move as much. Like your maintenance is 2,500 and you get 10K steps per day.
Yeah.
And you have muscle mass. And you're a male and you have testosterone and you're in your fucking 30s. So a female, oh, look at that. A female who hasn't been training for the past 10 years, she hasn't been building muscle, she's had a poor relationship with food, she's a chronic dieter, she is not going to need 1,700 fucking calories. And that's unpopular opinion, but like obviously everyone's mm-hmm. different. But I've seen this same client, the same avatar client over and over and over and over again. So many fucking times. And this same client, you know, her coach probably just didn't, he's never worked with the client like this. He's probably stumped. He's probably like, I've tried everything with her. We've done calorie cycling. We've done fucking carb cycling. We've done intermittent fasting. We've even tried keto. You know, he's probably tried everything with her. And he's not getting accurate data from her with her reporting her calories. And she's just eating too fucking much. And so how would you guys tackle somebody like this? I'm just curious.
I mean, I'd say number one thing is making sure that they are actually sticking to the plan before making any adjustments, because like you said, people underreport most of the time. They underreport calories that they're eating. They're overestimating how much they're burning. And so this leads to like a ton of things. And some people just aren't as consistent as they think they are. Like maybe they're like, oh, I'm really nailing it on the weekdays. And then the weekends, they just fucking eat like complete shit and they don't really mm-hmm. know. And so, mm-hmm. and then and of course they like probably ashamed to like tell their coach that. And another thing too, you said that this coach and this client are friends. And so, you know, when you're close friends, obviously you don't want to be like, you don't really want to kind of be harder on them and you don't really want to like put the foot down on them because you already have this like this like closer relationship. So you're like, you feel weird just being like, hey, you need to really get your ass back on track. Whereas like if you had like a more of a coach client relationship, you'd feel more comfortable doing that. So this coach, like he could be trying a bunch of different stuff or he could just be like, well, she isn't really sticking to it, but like I want to tell her to do this, but like I don't feel like comfortable doing that, so he's just probably like, I'll just kind of like leave her alone, let her figure this out.
Or he's been watching Instagram reels from these female coaches who are like, reverse diet girl, you need to be eating more than 1200. That's
how much calories is a calorie requirement for a toddler. that's what a toddler always eats, fucking gets passed around.
And it's like, okay, 1200 calories is not a lot of food. But for somebody who is underreporting calories by 30%, they're not eating 1200 calories. And that's why these coaches, they're not actual fucking coaches. They're Instagram content creators. They are not fucking coaches. Because if they were, they would make content about how to accurately report your fucking calories and why you're not eating 1,200 calories even though you think you are.
Yeah, I would say, like Austin said, first point of call is always going to be to make sure that the accuracy of tracking is on point. And it's always difficult to approach because you don't want to call anyone a liar, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to approach, but it's just making sure everyone takes it back to basics. Are you measuring in grams? Are you eyeballing stuff? Mm-hmm. Time to, you know, spot check. Get the measuring scales out again. I want you to weigh and measure everything. You know, we're not talking oil in the pan and be like, yep, that's about a tablespoon. No, you're going to measure it again. Because, like, we all do it, right? We all, after having done it for a while, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's about 30 grams or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. You know? But it's like, no, now you have to get back on top of that to make sure you are tracking literally everything. And, like, little things, like, I don't track the milk that I put in my coffee, but I'm making progress. Like, if I wasn't making progress, I'd be like, right, I'm tracking fucking everything.
But you know how easy it is to track little things like that too? Is I think people get it twisted that it's hard to do or that it's time consuming, blah, blah. It's like, okay, pour your coffee into the mug, put it on the scale, zero it out, put your milk in there, and you're good to go. It literally, the amount of time that it takes to not track it versus track it is literally less than a minute. It's less than a minute of your day. Right, so I'm not saying
you count like 1 gram as 1 mil, or what?
Yeah, pretty much. Even though I know they're slightly different, but yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I do. Like if I have 30 milliliters of creamer in my coffee, I'll just put it on the scale real quick, 30 mils.
Right. Well, I have
yeah.
Sorry, I have zero fat milk, skimmed milk.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, okay, if I wasn't making progress and I was getting frustrated with that and I really wanted to dial everything in, then I would start tracking everything. But unless you needed to know exactly what your maintenance is and exactly what your deficit is, you, in my opinion, you don't need to track every single thing if you have it consistently, if that makes sense. Like, if you're having new things every day, yeah, you need to track that. But things, obviously, like non-starchy vegetables, lettuce, broccoli, cauliflower, all of that kind of stuff, unless you're having a hell of a lot of it, I don't bother tracking that And then I also don't track the milk that I put in my coffee. But then I kind of have a rule of, I just never track it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I know that if I'm like, I just know that my targets represent that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so your actual maintenance is probably higher than 2,500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm eating probably a little bit more than 1,800 or whatever I choose.
You're basically saying what does this do to our numbers with clients, right? When we tell them, like I do the same thing with clients. I tell them, don't worry about tracking fucking broccoli, spinach, cauliflower, like all that shit is, I want you to be rewarded with those foods and not feel like they're punishment. So you can have as much fucking broccoli and cauliflower and spinach as you want. Mate. You can have as much of that as you want. As a matter of fact, if you're struggling with hunger, go and roast up a bunch of broccoli. I'm fine with that. Just watch the oil. And I don't track it either because I like to put in a lot of vegetables in my day. It's what helps me stay full. But I know that I'm probably eating like 100 to 200 calories worth of vegetables per day. Fair enough. Okay. Even though I'm tracking 1,500 calories, cool. I'm probably eating more like 1,600 to 1,700 calories. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's fine. That's okay. Yeah. But for the average person who comes to us and they say they've been eating 1,200 calories per day and they're doing the same thing, they're not eating 1,200 calories per day.
Some people don't even track their oil.
Yeah. They're not tracking oil. They're not tracking sauces. They're not tracking vegetables. They're not tracking anything. And they're probably not even tracking like full fat, full sugar coffee creamer. They're probably not tracking soda. They're probably still drinking soda. Full sugared soda.
Mm-hmm. So we're not even tracking correctly. They think like they probably could use like the wrong entry on MyFitnessPal or like they think that, oh, this weighs this much and really it doesn't.
Honestly, MyFitnessPal is a fucking pain in the ass. And I wish somebody would come out with an app that only had like, that had way less entries for each food, you know? So that way, like chicken breast, you could only have one option for boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, you've got it in there. Because like right now, there's so many entries for boneless, skinless chicken breast. They're all fucking off. They're all off. Because if you check it with the International Food Database, which I forget what it's called, but I was on it the other day and I was like, God, my raw chicken entry is like off by like 20%.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing and I was like over calculating my protein. So I was under eating my protein target for a long time because I was using the wrong entry on my MyFitnessPal. And I was using like raw chicken breast. But it was saying like 50 grams of protein per 200 grams of chicken breast when actually it's more like 40 grams, I think.
40 grams of protein for how much?
200 grams of chicken breast, I think.
How many ounces is that?
I think that's a little less than half a pound.
Let's see. Okay. We're going to look that up in self. For those of you who are listening.
What, you're laughing at those imperial units, Andy?
I have just no idea what you're talking about, mate. You're just talking a foreign language now.
Ounces.
Fucking ounces. And fucking... Are we talking British? British ounces or American ounces? I know ounces?
One pound is 454 grams. It's a little less than half a pound.
100 grams of raw chicken breast is 110 calories and 23 grams of protein. So if you double that, be 220 and 46 grams of protein.
For 200 grams of chicken breast?
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. That's not a lot of chicken.
Where's that one on the international?
That's self, SELF. That's like the one that I trust the most.
I started following ones from the American food thing.
Yeah. If we're going by ounces, 1 ounce of chicken breast is only 30 calories and 6.5 grams of protein. So, I mean, we're really talking about like three. Yeah, like the amount of protein in raw chicken is insane. Like you've already got, you know, just in 6 ounces of chicken breast, you've got, what is that? That's like almost 40 grams of protein, just in 6 ounces.
I have no idea what 6 ounces of protein means.
It's about the size of your palm right here.
How much protein? 40 grams?
Yeah.
So it's probably about 180 grams of protein.
Yeah. Just so literally the size of your palm is like a deck of cards or whatever. That's going to be like 40 or 50 grams of protein if it's raw chicken. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty crazy. And people are like, I don't know how to get in enough protein. And you're like, that is not a lot of chicken breast. That's not a lot. Like, if you go to a restaurant, they're going to put this much chicken breast on your chicken sandwich.
I think it's like people prefer to eat the dark meat and other types of meat because chicken breast is too dry, which I do get it. It is more dry, but you've got to get creative and you've got to get an air fryer. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally think if you think chicken breast does not taste good, like you're just not making it correctly.
You just don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
In a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
But I mean, even that chicken thigh isn't that off. It's probably has like a few less grams of protein and a few more grams of fat.
The macros on chicken thighs are much better than I thought, as long as you get boneless, skinless. And it tastes so much better. But right now I'm in such a steep deficit that I'd rather take those 100 calories and put it towards something else.
Yeah, for sure.
But when I'm at maintenance or in a surplus, I'm eating chicken thighs, dude. I'd way rather have chicken thighs. But in a Chick-fil-A grilled chicken sandwich, 327 calories and almost 30 grams of protein. So that's not bad at all. That's pretty damn good. You could eat two of those and you're talking about 650 calories and 54 grams of protein.
Also, grilled chicken is the fucking best thing ever.
Yeah, grilled. And for some reason, Chick-fil-A, dude, their chicken is so fucking juicy. Even when you get the non-fried chicken sandwiches from there, they're good, dude. I don't know why people hate on Chick-fil-A. I mean, I know why they hate on them.
yeah, we actually know why.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Just they're fucking kind of an evil company.
Are they?
Yeah.
They have certain views, let's just say.
Do they?
Yeah. Yes. About all right. What? Should we call it? We good?
Yeah, then you can tell me after.
Yeah, we've been in this pod for a while.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Hope you found this helpful, and track your fucking calories correctly.
Yeah,
but don't track your vegetables. But sometimes track your coffee creamer. But sometimes don't do it. But anyways, everything in fitness.
Main takeaway: be honest with yourself when you're.
And the main takeaway in fitness is. It depends. I hope you guys have a great fucking week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
See ya.